You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber-Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber-Dyson Ford Elk City, only at barberdysonford.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired and the mind drifts into the what ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake, focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We hope today.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. Our guest for today is Pastor Tim Patterson and children.
Yes.
You have some good kids. They're so beautiful. I got a question for you. Uh-oh.
You're all right.
So you brought your little girl, and I really hope this helps somebody today. She has a stinky. Mm-hmm. Now, does that make you love her any less?
No, it does not. Nope. It doesn't. You know why it doesn't? Because when we had her, I knew that was going to be part of it. And you know when God made you, he knew you weren't going to be perfect. He said, now here's the thing. Sometimes she makes it hard to change her because I don't know why, but it's like, I know it stinks, but it's warm and it's mine. I don't know. And sometimes we make it hard for God to work on us, don't we? Who'd have thought we'd been traveling there on this? But, you know, God knew that you wouldn't be perfect. God knew you were going to make the mistakes, but sometimes you just got to be willing to let him work on you.
It's not that we're waiting on him to do his job.
Yeah.
He's just waiting on us to get finished.
Yes, that's true. Are you done? Are you done? Yeah. Yes, this is true. Yeah. I apologize if you're a person of tradition. You may not have appreciated that analogy, but we'll take
you
what
have
we
some
get.
People like me.
Yeah. Yep.
That really, you know, oh.
Yep. That's funny. So
your title for today is Romans 15.
Romans 15.
We'll let you get back to it.
No, that's all right. Not a problem. I will say thank you for y'all letting me. My wife normally tries to have the kids with her, but she had a C-section that got put off, so she couldn't keep the kids at this point.
Well, we appreciate you still showing up anyway.
It's you know, it's normal for me. So y'all just get to enjoy my chaos with me. My beautiful chaos. Isn't it awesome that God speaks in our chaos?
Yes.
I love that fact. You don't just have to go up on a mountain to find Jesus somewhere.
Amen.
He can meet you in the middle of wherever you're at, of everyday life. We can experience God. And So I just want to conclude a little bit of some of what Paul. Now, let it be understood that what I'm about to say, I'm not taking pot shots at anything. So I hope nobody will take it like that. Over here. Sit down. But in verse 31, Paul writes to them. He says that verse 30, he says, I want you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. We've already mentioned this a little bit of Paul encouraging the church to be in prayer for him and how important that is for you to pray for your leadership in your church. But that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints. Now, understand that Jerusalem was that was where the church started. And Jerusalem had a lot of Jewish people. So naturally, when you're in a place where Christianity starts, and you're in a place where the Jewish law, Jewish tradition has been there for so long, you're probably going to be a very traditional church. How many know that sometimes when you touch tradition, you have touched the holy cow, I say this not in a dismissal way, because I'll just say this. I understand when you are in your 70s or when you're in your, and this isn't just 70s and 80-year-olds. I've met 50-year-olds like this, that they have fallen in love with the church as they know it. Mm-hmm. And somewhere along the way, it has replaced their love for Christ. And inadvertently, they have made an idol out of their church, out of their traditions. Now, let me say this. I can understand that. When you're in that age bracket, and when you're coming towards the end of life, y'all correct me if I'm wrong. You can comment on here and tell Monica I'm way off base. But you don't have a lot of stuff that's staying consistent in your life anymore. Mm. Things are constantly changing. Your health is fluctuating. Children have moved off. You just don't have a lot of things that are staying normal. And so the one place that you can go to that hasn't changed for the past 20 years is the church. It's still got the same paint job. It hasn't been, they haven't changed the decorations since 1980 in some places. And that's not a dig, okay? But let's just be realistic. Somebody comes in, say you've had the same pastor for 20 years, and time has come for them to move on, and now you have a new minister in, or somebody else is coming in, and they may not change a whole lot of things. They may not change a whole lot. Xander, you need to go over here. They may change one little thing, but man, they touched something that you've held on to, something that's been normal in your life. And so how do you deal with change? How do you deal with, how do you not fall in the tradition trap, so to speak? One of the first things that we have to do, I'm trying to be as delicate as I can here, and encourage you in this way, but sometimes, I'm 34, almost 34 years old, but there are some things y'all would think, man, that guy, I'll just put it to you this way. I am a rather Bill Gaither, Vestal Goodman, Howard Goodman junkie, if that commits. Anybody knows who I'm talking about. I love Gaither Homecoming Radio, the Spears, different ones. I love those things. But, you know, how do we deal with not falling into a tradition trap? Now, not all traditions need to be done away with. Don't misunderstand me. Some traditions are good. But there are some things that they're not going to make or break the gospel message, right? So how do we deal with those traditions? Well, the first thing you got to do, if you find yourself leaning so heavily in that direction of you're touching my brother, when he was pastor, when he first started lead pastor. Now, he'd been going to this church for 18 years, but then he started lead pastoring. And about a year in, they had names all along the wall, names of God, but they needed to repaint. We couldn't paint over those applique names, and they needed to renovate. And, man, they started scraping the names off the wall. Oh, man, that was not comfortable for some folks. Now, it didn't change the gospel message. God's still all of those things. But, you know, how do we not fall into that trap? Well, Mark Clifton says the first thing you have to do is you have to fall in love with Christ all over again. And I know we're way away from Romans 15 a little bit here, but just dealing with tradition. If you go to the book of Revelation and you read where John was writing, he said, I heard a voice that was as a voice of many waters. I love hearing from God, don't you? But then John, he said, and I turned, and he got a fresh vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes if we want to be able to not get stuck in our tradition trap, and we want to see the gospel further, I mean, we want to see the gospel meet our culture, not change to our culture. Our gospel is going to be counter to our culture. But we have to learn that there are things that we can do differently that are more effective now, and there are things that they were doing 40 years ago that were effective that aren't effective now. And so we can't be engaging in ministries and investing in ministries that aren't doing anything just for the sake of doing them. Because when we do that, we anesthetize or dull the pain of dying. When there's something God has for us that a church can thrive in, and in order for a church to thrive, and in order for a church to continue to grow, it's got to be a church that is in love with Jesus Christ all over again. Not the building, not the pews that were donated by Sister So-and-So 70 years ago, or the painting that Grandpa Vic did, many, many years ago that sits in the fellowship hall. We appreciate their efforts. We appreciate what they've done. But if we want to, you know, I mean, let's just be real for a moment. If you go to a restaurant that never updates, and you go in, they haven't painted in the past 30 years, so you know there's some grease up on the walls. The floors haven't, you know, some of the floor tiles are getting loose. You know, we're just talking on the physical side, but, you know, let's get a little more real. They haven't adjusted their menu in the past 20 years. They are still serving the same things. Nobody's had an original thought of how to make a hamburger. Of doing something new. Nobody's thought, hey, let's put peanut butter and egg on a hamburger or something, you know, and change their menu. And then we wonder, well, why is there a decline? Well, people are kind of like, we want to try something new. Now, does that mean we change the gospel? No. Because guess what? You go in, it's a burger, but it's just dressed with the peanut butter and fried egg and bacon on it instead of lettuce, mayonnaise, and tomato. All right? It's still a burger. All right, and if anything, you've just amplified that burger a little bit, in my opinion. If you're a peanut butter, bacon, and egg fan like I am, and so I encourage you, don't get caught in that tradition. If you find yourself leaning into being a cranky person who always finds the fault of everything, and I hope y'all still gonna love me after this. I hope. But if you find that you're always the one that's like, oh, young people today, this, you know, our young people have a lot to offer. They really do. And you have a lot to offer them. And when you bring the wisdom of the elder in with the vitality of the younger, you can have a dynamic duo of ministry. And you can have a dynamic church when you have these young people that are like, man, I've got the vision, I've got the want to, I've got the ability to do it. And then you've got somebody that's an elder they're like, you know, I can't do that, but I can see it and I can dream it. You know, old men shall dream dreams and young men shall see visions. Man, you bring the dreamer and the visionary together, and the dreamer may not be able to do everything the visionary can, but he can certainly support the visionary. And man, my brother has got some wonderful elders in his church. I'm gonna Compassion OKC. Y'all will probably never see this because y'all hardly, very few of y'all know me. But if you do, I could tag Sister Shirley, and Buddy Williams and his wife, elders. But they have said, hey, Dr. Harold Dalton and his wife Anna, elders in the church that said, hey, let's do something for God, and we're totally going to change how we've approached this. And they start a Hope Center that works with drug addicts. They have Celebrate Recovery, and God has used that. And they've seen drug addicts come and get saved because a young man had vision, and elders said, hey, we'll support it. And I'm telling you, you can be a dynamic church. You know what caused it? You know what happened? They said, you know what? We love Christ more than we love our tradition and how what we've always done. You know, sometimes it's just hard to get away. How many people are creatures of habit? Okay, people at Choicers can tell you I am not. They told me, they said, we have never met somebody who changed their coffee's order more than you. It's never the same thing. Very seldom, you know. It's something new every time I go in. I'm not a creature of habit, but some are, and that's okay. But, you know, it is such a privilege. I have seen it when people who were – case in point, I can use my mother as an illustration. She said I could. My mother, growing up, we went to churches that didn't – they did not believe in children's church. They did not. And my mom was staunch against children's church. Well, here I was about 13, 14 maybe, maybe a little older, doesn't matter. And our pastor comes there and he says, Sister Debbie, I'd like you to start teaching the children's church that we're going to be starting. And she's like, Pastor, I don't even believe in children's church. And he said, well, I want you to pray about it because God, I feel like God dealt with me that you need to be doing it. And so she went to prayer about it, and God said, I want you to invest in these children. And so thus it began. And today, one of those young girls we taught is a minister, is a preacher's wife. One of those young girls is the lead piano player at our church in there at Landmark. Many of them are leading worship on Sunday mornings. They are invested heavily in the ministry of the church. Thank God for Children's Church. And thank God for my mom, who stepped outside of the comfort zone of her tradition and said, I want to do what God wants. Sometimes that's the problem, is we want to do what we've always done, or we're afraid to do something we've never done because it's counter to our culture and mindset. But if we could do that, what could happen if we just said, you know what, this isn't about what I want. This is about what God wants. And talk about a step of faith when it's not about what you want. And you're like, you say, okay, God, I don't know exactly how we're going to do this. I don't know how we're going to afford it. I don't know how we're going to do this. Sometimes our first question is, well, can we afford it? Can we do this? Well, what about the first question being, does God want us to do it? And if that could be our question, and if, man, if you're an elder, if you're a deacon and you're an elder in your church, or if you're at the business meeting, you know, people respect you. Let me say that. A lot of people really respect the elders, and you can derail what God wants to do, or you can really help put it on track. Be sensitive to what God, because listen, people respect you, and you may have more influence than what you know. And, you know, you may could speak and say, you know what? I don't know how we're going to afford it, but I feel like God says this is what we need to do. Like pastor brings up, you know what, pastor, I'm going to be in agreement with you for that. You know, or whatever it might be. I just encourage you, I don't know where we got all this from one verse, but we did. But he said that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints. You know, pray. If you have a new pastor, pray for that new pastor, because he's got vision, he's got desires, he wants to help the church grow and go forward. Believe it or not, he's probably not trying to build his own kingdom. He really wants to build a kingdom of God. Now, sometimes as pastors, if we're not careful, we can get a little ahead of ourselves and we want to start changing things right away. But pray for your pastor. If you've got a new pastor, pray for him that his ministry and his vision would be accepted, that it would grow and develop. And that's just some pastoral encouragement. That's not coming from your pastor. That's coming from somebody you probably don't even know. But I just want to encourage you. Pray for your pastor. Pray for the missions. Don't get stuck in tradition. Just, you know, you might just ask God, Lord, do I need to fall in love with you all over again? If so, show me how. Show me how to love you well. Have I inadvertently, unbeknownst to myself, left my first love? And if so, show me, because I want to seek first your kingdom and its righteousness. That's my desire. All right. So I'm done.
We sign off. Would you be so kind and share with the people, with the listeners, information about your church, name, location, and anything else that you would like to share, sir?
Absolutely. We are Cheyenne Pentecostal Holiness Church. We're located at 111 South 2nd Street in Cheyenne, Oklahoma. If you don't know where that is, we're at the corner of 2nd and Clay, which is just south of Martin's Trading Post, where we've got a white building with a black roof. You'll see us with our signs out front there, lighthouse on the sign. We have service at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings is Sunday school. 11 o'clock is worship. And then Wednesday night is Bible study and prayer. And we do occasionally have, once a month, we have youth service as much as we're able to and different things. Thank you so much. That is, you know, and we will be having, of course, Father's Day on Sunday, honoring our fathers and everything. But I think that's all of the announcements I have at this point of what's going on in our church at this point.
Okay. Well, we sure appreciate you coming.
Yes, thank you.
And we appreciate having these three beautiful children in the studio. You know, the Lord said, let them come.
Yes. Yeah.
Don't turn away the children when they come.
Yeah. Yes.
You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. From all of us here in the studio, y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time. And it is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica, from Tina, and from Pastor Tim, we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.